Today, I want to share with you 6 ideas that you can do with your students that will keep them energized, engaged, and focused on learning all the way until the end of the school year. Hi there, I'm Carolyn Wall, your host of the Middle School Cafe podcast, a podcast specifically for secondary ELA teachers looking to close the achievement gap. I'm a 20-year veteran teacher who still loves being in the classroom. Tune in each week as I reflect on my own teaching experience to bring you lesson plans, strategies, and stories that will help you develop your students as readers and writers. So grab your notepad, a cup of coffee, and join me each week as we dive into all things ELA. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm so excited that you're here, and I hope that your week is getting off to a great start. Last week, my team and I sat down to kind of map out the remainder of the school year. And oh my goodness, there are not very many weeks left of the school year. We currently have 9 weeks to go. Unfortunately, 3 of those weeks are dedicated to testing. 2 of them are state testing for language arts, and 1 of them is a district test that we give. So we essentially have 6 weeks left to plan out our final units. I know that the end of the school year comes anywhere between the end of May and the end of June, so this episode might be a little early for some of you, and I figure if you're interested in end-of-the-year ideas, you can always come back and listen or re-listen to the episode at a later time. Today, I want to share with you 6 ideas that you can do with your students that will keep them energized, engaged, and focused on learning all the way until the end of the school year. So let's get started. Number 1. Choice boards. You've heard me advocate for it many times that as often as we can, we need to offer choice to our students, and choice boards are that perfect solution. A choice board allows all students to focus on the same skill or set of skills at the same time, but gives students choice in how they demonstrate their understanding of that skill. Choice boards can be as elaborate as you want them to be, offering 10 to 12 choices, or you can keep it simple by offering just 3 to 4 choices. There's no magic number. There's nothing specific that we're looking for other than offering choices to your students and how they demonstrate their understanding of what you're doing. Let's say that you are ending the year wanting to reinforce plot development. You could, as a class, all read the same short story, but instead of having everyone complete the same task to explain the plot, you could offer a small choice board. Here are 3 choices you could offer relatively easily. Number 1, you could have them complete and illustrate the plot line or story map. Everyone has seen this before. It's a very structured assignment. Students know what to do. They can just fill in each of the plot points. Or option number 2, you could have them write out a detailed summary. This is a little bit more advanced. It involves writing, but honestly, some students would rather just write it out and be done with the assignment. Your 3rd option could be to have them complete an ed puzzle and plot and then answer some questions about the story that you read. This is a little bit more basic, but it will appeal to some students and it does still cover the skill that you're teaching. There's 3 quick choices, but they all focus on the same skill. It's easy to differentiate for the multiple skill levels, and while it's 3 different assignments, there's really very little prep work needed to set that up. So again, you could have a simple choice board like the one that I just mentioned, or you could create and build out an elaborate choice board for each of the story elements. It's really up to you. Students will typically engage with choice boards because they feel like they are in control. They get to choose what they want to do that day in terms of the activity, but you are still in control, keeping them focused on what you need them to learn. All right, number 2, student-led book talks. I've done a whole podcast on this one, so I'm not going to go into too much detail here, but if you're interested in this, go back and listen to episode number 18. Essentially, a student-led book talk takes the idea of that teacher-led book talk where you introduce a book, explain a little bit about the plot, maybe even read an excerpt, with the goal of building curiosity and enticing students to want to read the book. A student-led book talk builds on that idea. Students present in small groups so that you're avoiding multiple days of speeches, and it also encourages interaction. Students present the plot and share an excerpt, but then they also introduce the theme and they come to the group with questions for the group members. It encourages students to engage in academic conversations about books. Again, if you're interested in more on how to plan for book talks or just more about this idea of book talks, go back and listen to episode number 18. All right, number three, a super fun activity that allows students a little bit more freedom and the ability to be creative, all while focusing on literature, and that is to create a literary field trip. Back in the day, I did this as a literary brochure where students created a travel brochure for people to come visit the location of the book. But with technology more readily available and students used to virtual field trips, I've changed the activity to an online virtual field trip. There's a little bit more involved with this activity, so it's really not one that I'm going to do with my sixth graders this year. I would say it's definitely appropriate for eighth grade and up. Really depends on how tech savvy your students are. I use Google Slides for this activity. On the very first slide, I have students create a map of the city just based off of their book. It doesn't really have to be an accurate representation, meaning that if the book doesn't explain the setting very well or explain what the city looks like, students can have a little bit of creative license here, but they need to have a map on that very first slide. On that first slide on their map, they also have to create a minimum of three locations or landmarks that people will visit when they come to the field trip. This comes right from their book. Like, where do the characters go? Where does the story take place? What would somebody see if they went into the book and they were visiting the book? On the slides that follow, students must create something visual. That could be a flyer, it could be a ticket, it could be a collage, something that represents the location or the landmark from the story that they put on that first slide. I also want them to write one paragraph that explains the link between the location and the book. So it's not just a random set of pictures. There has to be purpose, and the students have to be able to connect the image that they create back to the story. So we work on that for a few days. And then at the end, I show students how to link their pages on the map so that when students are viewing the field trip in presentation mode, they're able to visit each of the stops and click back and forth. And it works more like a virtual field trip. As I'm talking about this, I'm thinking that this would probably be better as a blog post so I can show you the different pieces. So I'm actually going to add this to my list for future posts, and I will keep you posted when I get that up on the website. Okay, so let's see where we are. Number four, book clubs. If you have never done a book club before, the end of the year is the perfect time to jump in because you know your students so well by this point. Book clubs are where you group students together based off a book that everyone wants to read. So unlike a student-led book talk where everyone is reading their own choice book, in a book club, everyone is reading the same book. Students work together to determine their timeline for reading, and they create their discussion questions, and they meet together to discuss the book. There are no roles in book clubs like there are in literature circles. And really, the idea of a book club really functions more like a real-world experience, a book club that you would have outside of school. If you are thinking about planning your first book club, I have a free download for you that will outline everything that you need to think about while you're planning, and I will link that in the show notes for you. There are also two podcast episodes that go into more detail about book clubs, one specifically on how to plan for them. So go check out episode 16 and episode 17 for those. Just a couple more to go, you guys. Number five are silent debates. Debates in general are a great student engager, but to be honest with you, I don't think that the average middle school classroom is ready for an actual debate. From my experience, students hear the word debate and they assume that that means that they get to argue and they get to be loud. Silent debates, however, have all the components of a regular debate, but the actual debate and the rebuttal are all done in writing. Students work in pairs to prepare for one side of the debate, and then they partner up with another pair who worked on the other side of the debate. Then they hold their conversation, they hold their debate in writing. When this is done in writing with one partner, there is more critical thinking that is happening, more collaboration with a partner, and all the students get to participate, not just the loud ones. This is a great introduction to debate, but it is also a great standalone activity. I did these types of things often when I was teaching social studies and we use them for current events, but they could also be used when you're teaching argumentative in your language arts class. I'll link to some resources in the show notes if this sounds like something that you want to give a try. I've got some resources and some blog posts that are dedicated to silent debates. All right, so we're already on our last one, number six, podcasts. The first time that I had students do podcasts was during the 2020 lockdown when I needed to find a way to turn my public service announcement activity into something that students could do at home. It actually worked really well, and out of all the assignments that I had given that spring, this was the one that most students completed. Not all, but most. We were working on the standard of persuasion, needing to get our audience to do something. Had we been in the classroom that spring, students would have been making and presenting commercials. Because there was no way for students to get together to record their commercial, I had to find a way that students could still work together, but do something persuasive. I didn't want to try to write a persuasive essay via online teaching, especially in those first few months. I really just didn't think it was going to work if I couldn't be there in person to help them. So during that spring, I laid out all the elements that they needed, and then we worked on each part during our class time and office hours, and then students went off to be creative. This turned out to be a super fun activity and one that I got the most positive feedback on. I think that this could still work in the classroom. Students would need a place to record, which could be a corner in the classroom or in the hall, or maybe you could work with your school library and have students go down to the library to record. To be honest, this is not something that I've done in the classroom, but I know that many teachers do, and I think it would be super fun, especially in a social studies class or with an argumentative or persuasive unit. All right, so let's review the six ideas to keep students focused until the end of the school year. Number one was choice boards. Offering student choice is always a great idea. Number two were student-led book talks. Number three were asking students to create their own literary field trips. Number four were book clubs. Five were silent debates. And six was creating podcasts. As you end your year, think of an activity that maybe you thought was intimidating to plan or that you didn't think your students would engage in earlier in the year and give it a try. You're never going to know your students better than you do in the last weeks of school. That's when I like to try brand new ideas. My students, by this point, know me very well and are more forgiving when a lesson flops. Students can always help you work out those kinks so that you can implement the activity next year. All right, you guys, that's it for me for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out the show notes, and I will put the links to all the blogs, podcast episodes, and resources that I mentioned in today's episode over there. So go over there and check those out. And as always, you can join us in the Facebook group where I'll be continuing the discussion on activities that will keep everyone engaged until the end of the year. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. And until next time, have a great week.